And good evening, and welcome to another edition of NDB Media's Monday Night America. I'm your host, Roger Palpatine Noriega. I want to give thanks to Robert Summers Potterton III for his composition of our opening theme. You know it, it's the NDB Media opening theme. You may find his website at rsp3.com. That's rsp3.com. We have advertising opportunities here at NDB Media. Go ahead and email us at roger@ndbmedia.net. Well, today is January 21st, 2019. A little bit of bad news. It's tax season for me. As you know, I've been doing this for many, many years. 31. And clientele is just getting to be quite a bit. I have a lot of work to do, and I'm going to be going on hiatus until May 7th. Just the way it is. There's not much I can do about it. A little bit of good news for me. Looks like I'm going to be in Chicago this year. In July. And then in late July, early August, I'm going to be in Las Vegas. All tax-related stuff. But that's just me. Forgive me. Anyway, it's looking to be a tough year already. I already have 3 clients. But all of them have been FaceTime. It's kind of cool. This is something I started doing a year and a half ago. And now it looks like it's picking up. I'm genuinely surprised by it. Very happy, but hey, it's all good, and I'm just looking forward to it. Once again, I do apologize. A little bit of bad news. We will be on hiatus after today until May 6th. Getting busy, busy, busy. But hey, it is what it is. We're going to go and continue. Still going to do Saturday morning program. And, of course, if there is massive breaking news or something, maybe on the holiday Mondays, like President's Day, I might be on February 18th and I might be on March 25th. But, again, it's just getting to the point where I have a little bit too much to do. But, hey, wow, better to be Roger Noriega than it is the Prime Minister of the United Kingdom. Man, last week, did she get whooped? The deal that she had for Brexit, which really wasn't very good to the United Kingdom anyway. The whole thing with the United Kingdom with the One Nation, or I shouldn't say the One Nation, but the Eurozone, it's pretty simple. It comes down to immigration and control. And the control is this. And this is something that I've asked several people belonging to the United Kingdom. One of the major issues are, and case in point, the fisheries off the coast of Great Britain, the island. And it's just amazing that over in Brussels, the Eurozone is controlled by bureaucrats. Ah, my brothers and sisters. Yes, indeed. And they're assigning stuff based on what they feel is appropriate. And often it, you know, steps on local law, tradition, heritage, title, all of that stuff. And the United Kingdom's pretty much had it for some time now. And now the explosion of immigration several years ago that caused lots of issues. You know, of course, a lot of this happened over in Syria. Remember the spring revolution and all that stuff back in 2011? That's one of the reasons why we have Brexit today. So, she got whooped last week in a major vote. So, the exit's coming up on May of 2019. I don't know if Theresa May, that's her name, May and May. Hey, go figure, Theresa May. If the United Kingdom leaves on a hard exit, there may be shortages of food and stuff, whatever. So, they got to get their act together, and who knows. The European Court did say that the United Kingdom does have an out clause. It certainly does. And it means that if they don't want to leave, that's okay. They can remain in. It's all right. So the chicken exit. Do you remember Magic Mountain, folks? When you got on the revolution, now called – it was called the Bicentennial. Sorry. Then it was called the revolution. But anyway, it was a bicentennial. When you get in line just before you were going to get up to go onto the roller coaster, there was the exit to the right. It was called a chicken exit. For those of you that went to Magic Mountain, you know what I'm talking about. Anyway, the chicken exit is in effect, and you can still get out Great Britain, Scotland, and Wales. Oh, and Northern Ireland. The United Kingdom. It's Great Britain and Northern Ireland, you know, that, whatever. Anyway, they've got a chance to avoid it. Gee, our president, boy, have we backed ourselves into a corner. When you play with adults, I should say, other politicians that have played the game just a tad longer than you, well, they know how to maneuver things. So, hey, Donald, I think you have to do a little bit better. I know you want to get out of it, but, hey, we're going to see what's going to happen. But, hey, I do apologize. I do have a caller on the 612 area code. We'll get to you in just a moment. But remember, as we go to you, let us know who you are and where you hail from. But we'll get to you in just a moment. The thing is going on beyond 30 days, and it's really, really bad, folks. Hopefully it'll get resolved anytime soon. 30 days without a check is a bad thing. As a bureaucrat myself in Los Angeles County, my thoughts and prayers are with my brothers and sisters in the federal government. So, hey, we're going to go to them right now. Caller from the 612 area code. You're live. Go ahead.
Yes, sir. My name's Dave, and I'm calling from Minneapolis, Minnesota. Thanks for taking my call.
I was going to say good morning. Sorry, Dave. Hey, what's going on, Dave? How you doing?
Doing all right. I just want to say, you know, and I hear where you're coming from on some of the points you brought up with Trump and some of the other issues, but I think I gotta ask just one fundamental question is, do you view illegal immigration as a problem, yes or no?
Okay, well, I will gladly answer the question, but please don't just make it a yes or no, because that's unfair to everyone. But do I believe it's a problem? You bet I do. Yeah.
Right, and so it's something I was kind of noticing. Like, I'm an independent. I'm not, on the right or to the left. And what I noticed that everyone's dug in on these ideological grounds and playing this almost like it's like a gang warfare where it's like, you only care about a solution if it comes from your side. And if it comes from the other side, it's automatically disqualified, regardless of the merits of the idea itself. And I feel like that's what's going on with the wall. That more people, because they hate Trump, because they may dislike Republicans, they're just automatically assuming building the wall is not a good idea or it doesn't work. But I find it interesting that, the Obama administration gave the Mexican government something like $75 million to help them build the wall on their southern border to keep people from Guatemala, Honduras, and El Salvador from illegally entering Mexico. And it was okay for them to do that to fix the same problem. But when we try the same here in America, people want to call people racist or xenophobes or engage in just trying to discredit your opponents rather than arguing the merits of the idea or presenting a better solution. And instead, and what I see from people is, it's a, Trump's bad, therefore his ideas are bad. I just don't think that's a practical way of running our government.
First of all, I appreciate that comment. It is a problem when people have no solution and they scream those epithets, and it's bad. Someone doesn't agree with you, or basically just, I'm right, and, get out of my way. It's really a bad thing. Not too long ago, and I'm sure you do remember as well as I do, a lot of work used to get done in Washington. It was called compromise. That's how stuff got done. It's a little bit from one side and a little bit from the other side, but unfortunately it doesn't happen anymore. And a lot of it is because of what's happened in the last 20 years. People figure that, well, look, the only way to win my side is to get what I want, and that's it. And with that stubborn stance becomes, forgive me, I shouldn't have said that. People are driven by the extremes that we've come to today, and they see no other option, and they're saying, hey, look, this is it, this far, no further, and I'm not going to give in. And that is really bad for all of us. I do believe immigration is bad. I also believe the debt is bad. Do you remember when the Tea Party came into office in 2010? Remember those guys?
Yes, sir.
Remember what they were running on? To kill the debt, right? And that was it.
Right.
They were going to, Yeah. And that was one of the extremes that started the issues with politics today, that I'm not going to give in. And unfortunately, look at what has happened to them. They didn't give in. No deals were done. And we are where we are now, and it's pretty bad.
Well, all we need are 10 Democrats to go ahead and you know, agree to have the funding for the wall, this would be done tomorrow. It's not that big of a deal. I don't understand why $5.7 billion, considering our federal budget is $5.85 trillion, $5.7 billion is nothing. I mean, that's not even anything. If we were talking $15, $20 billion, I could understand. But to me, it feels more like the Democrats just don't want to do it because they don't want Trump to supposedly have some kind of victory or something like that, which to me, it's totally, it's ridiculous. And they're acting like children. You know, I mean, it's just, this whole thing is just a mockery. It's an embarrassment to the country.
Any time that we cannot run a government, it is an embarrassment to a country. And in the case, we do look bad. But let me put this on the table real quick. Prior to Rush Limbaugh and Ann Coulter shaming President Trump into, you know, basically bending over, there was a deal on the table for between $1.5 and $20 billion for border security now. But and that had passed. But then the president said, oh, no, no, I'm giving in. I want a wall. I want 5 point some billion. Well, there's 5.3 billion or 5.7. That kind of went against the fact that there was already money on the table. $20 billion for border security. That was in December.
Yeah, but I remember the details of that deal. It was kind of fuzzy in the sense that he wasn't just pertaining to the wall. It had to do with, you know, border patrol and different other aspects. And everyone knows when it comes to the Democrats, come on now, we all know, they play games just like the Republicans do. And so whenever they do any of those things, there's always a string attached to it. And let's be honest here. I mean, let's be real, what's going on here. What the Democrats want to do is their ultimate goal is to legalize every illegal immigrant in this country and give them the right to vote. That's obvious. The Republicans, they benefit because they have donors who benefit from cheap labor, so they want to keep that flow of illegal immigrants coming in. So when you have two political parties that directly are going to benefit from this current situation, neither one of them really want to solve it. And that's why when Trump comes in, he's not someone who's beholden to special interest groups. While I do find a lot of other stuff about him reprehensible, I do respect the fact that he's not controlled like these other politicians are in that sense. And because of that, he was willing to bring up the two things that have done more to undercut American workers than anything else that's ever happened in this country, which is illegal immigration and these bad trade deals, which have taken all the leverage that American workers used to have. And you being from California, you should probably know the history of what happened with the farm worker union, I believe led by a man, believe the name of Cesar Chavez, who was obviously a progressive and was a tremendous, you know, advocate for workers' rights. And the farm workers union in Southern California tried very hard to get farm workers better wages, better job safety, more benefits. And they took it upon themselves to actually guard and to monitor the border to keep immigrants from coming in, because the farmers were trying to hire illegal immigrants because they were going to pay them much less, and they were going to get them to try to undercut whatever leverage the farm workers union was trying to create. Now, that's the situation we have today, where the same business donor class who gives money to these politicians, they want illegal immigration to be this way. They want these current trade deals which allow them to take jobs overseas and pay for cheaper labor and bring them in at reduced rates. That's what they want. That hurts us, not them. And to act like us now is trying to stop control the border again and stop the flow of illegal immigrants, I don't understand why the American people want to support that. And if the Democrats are supposed to be the representatives of the working class, why wouldn't they do and represent our best interests? I don't understand.
There are a lot of things I don't understand about the Democratic Party, as there are a lot of things that I don't understand about the Republican Party. I am from California. Yes, you guessed it. If I didn't say it before, I am. Thank you for that. I'm also a business owner. I am as well as a government employee, but I work for local government. But being a business owner, I'll tell you this, that it is in my best interest to hire people who are here legally, and I do. And as a business owner, I am pretty pissed off. And forgive me, guys, I do see we have a lot of other callers. Thank you. I'm going to get to you shortly. Bear with me a moment. I just want to finish this thought. And it's not going to go against what you say. It's going to go, or it's going to add part of it. What I want to see done is I want to see the money spent on E-Verify. Number one, if every business does E-Verify, if it turns out that they hire someone that is illegal but they followed the law, there is no penalty against the employer. So that's number one. Everyone should be on E-Verify. Two, you're not on E-Verify. Everyone should go after those businesses. They should not shop at those businesses. They should not buy from those businesses. They should not frequent them. That would be two. Three, go after the workers that are here. Both administrations, the Obama administration and the Trump administration, have increased the number of deportations and activity. Fine, keep it going. But you want to know where you need to start? You need to start in Beverly Hills. You need to start in Washington, D.C. You have to go after the workers that are employed by the well-to-do. Get their nannies out. That's number one. And then you know where the other workers are. They're in restaurants, unfortunately, and they are working in the fields. But if you get those people out, understand that our food prices will go up. So be it. But if you really want to resolve, and another thing, this is just Roger speaking, and the fifth thing would be is, we know that most illegal people that stay here overstay their visa. Fine. You want to overstay your visa? The country that allowed them to come over has to put up a bond for anyone that wants to come over. And if they don't leave when their visa expires, then that country has to pay the insurance bond, just like I as a tax repairer has to have. I have to have a bond. So those are my five ideas. They may go against
those are great ideas.
Well, I don't know if they're great ideas, man. I just know that that's what I would want to see done. But I'm not
right.
Blind. Do we need border security? I believe we do. How? I think that's where you and I could talk. I think.
Yeah, I mean, you could do everything you just listed, which is absolutely fantastic, and I agree with all of those. And if you do that in combination with a border wall, you've effectively limited tremendously the effective legal immigration. Because like you said, the main source is we got to punish these businesses, because they're the ones drawing the people up here in the first place. And if you can have the wall, along with that, you help Border Patrol actually do their job of securing the border itself. Because let's remember, you know, I've been down to southern Texas and southern Arizona especially, and you have large, I mean, hundreds of miles of just nothing but empty wasteland, just desert plains, where there's no towns, no roads, no people anywhere for hundreds of miles in all directions. And that's where a lot of the illegal crossings happen, where literally there's no one there patrolling it at all. And especially at night, they're basically invisible. So, you know, I think if we have a physical barrier in combination with what you talked about, that'll solve the problem right there. You know, because I think the issue is, at the end of the day, we want to know who's coming in and out of our country. I think everyone agrees with that, right? We don't want to, you know, like I'm all for people coming over here to work legally. I just don't want criminals or people who have some type of nefarious agenda going on here to come into my country either. You know, I just want the people who want to work and take care of their families and keep the bad people out.
Young man, I think you and I have the makings of a deal. Too bad we weren't in Washington right now.
I know.
But let me ask. Oh, no. No, go ahead. I'm sorry. I cut you off. What was that?
No, no. I was just agreeing with you. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Fair enough. No, no, no. It's okay. It's all good. What I want to ask you is about your idea of the border wall. Knowing what is in place now and what we could have in place, do you see a do I understand from you that you want a physical barrier to go across the entire 3,000 miles from, say, I don't know what that city is down in the very tip of Texas, all the way to San Ysidro, which is in San Pedro. Is that what you envision? A border wall, the entire 2,000 or so miles? And I'm sure my math is failing me, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, no, no, yeah, I understand. No, it's not going to be the whole thing, because obviously I'm sure you're well aware of there's like mountains and different, you know, natural sort of barriers, if you will, with rivers and things like that. I'm just talking about areas where we have flat land and there's nothing hindering people from crossing from Mexico into the United States, right? And so I don't know how much of that 2,000 miles it is. I'm pretty comfortable to say probably like 70% of it, maybe 70, 65% or something like that. But I do know that, and I've personally seen, you know, these areas where there's just huge openings. It's just wide open, and there's no one there to watch. So, you know, I do know there's lots of areas that need to be protected.
Yeah, I hear you. And a lot of the times the news media will not show these places that you've gone to, where I've gone to. They will deliberately show the areas where it's mountainous, where it looks stupid to have a wall, but they don't show the other areas. And that is, unfortunately, media putting in their own opinion where they should not. I remember journalism was, you were supposed to write the story and let your reader infer, right? That's the way it used to be. But I guess they just don't do that anymore. Anyway, I do appreciate the commentary. I invite you to stay on with me right now. I'm going to bring some of the other callers on right now. You said your first name was Dave, right?
Yes, sir.
All right, Dave. I invite you to stay on with me. If you did you want to comment about anything else right now before I bring some of the other callers on?
Oh, no. Go ahead and bring someone else on. I really appreciate you taking
okay,
my call.
Okay, appreciate it. All right. Oh, no. Thank you. But I'm going to keep you on. I'm not going to mute you. So we're going to go next to the 804 area code. Go ahead, caller. You know the drill. Who are you and where do you hail from? You're live on Monday Night America. Go ahead. Caller 804? Okay, maybe not. All right, well, we're going to put you back on hold. Now we have another caller from the 213 area code. We're going to go to them right now. Remember, caller, let us know who you are and where you hail from. You're live on Monday Night America. Go ahead, caller.
Hey, Rod, this is Pete from Ventura, California. How are you?
Pete from Ventura, California. How are you doing, man?
I'm doing good. Sorry it's going to be your last show for a while.
Well, it is tax season. You know, we business workers, we got to get to work. But I may be on during the holidays, February and Cesar Chavez and something like that. But it's getting too big, man. With the full-time job and over 300 clients, I got to make some time. Thank goodness it's working. But Pete from Oxnard, tell me, how's the weather out there? Dude, it's cold. It's cold out here in Pomona.
It's chilly, but it was a nice day today.
All right, fair enough. Pete from Oxnard, what would you like to share with us today?
Yeah, I want to share that I'm also an independent. After what the Democrats did in the last election, I was very upset by that. I didn't like that. But I will say that I studied the debates very carefully. And what Donald Trump sold to the American public was that the construction of the wall would be paid by Mexico. And that was very clear because he was asked during the debates, how are you going to pay for it? He said, I'm going to get Mexico to pay for it. He had 2 years to get Mexico to pay for it. And of course, everyone knew Mexico is not going to pay for it. So his plan failed. The recourse is not to force the American public to pay for it. Because if you look at what our deficit is going to be this year, it's going to be $1 trillion. That's $1,000 billion. So we don't have the $5 billion to fund his mistake.
Okay, Pete, before I bring in Dave, because I want to know if you have a comment on that. The president, Donald Trump, did say, well, Mexico's already paying for it. I believe you know what he was talking about, right?
No, please clarify.
Okay. Dave, I believe you may be correct me. You may correct me if I'm wrong, which I probably will be. He was implying that the new deal, the one that replaced NAFTA, which is not in effect yet, Mexico is now, due to the terms of the deal, becoming more favorable to America. Mexico is now paying, which they're not yet because the deal has not taken effect, but what would your comment about that be, Peter from Oxnard, that the president says, well, Mexico's already paying for it now through the new deal?
I need to think about that. What's your opinion on that?
Well, I have an opinion, but I haven't had a bunch of callers in a while. Dave, why don't you come in on that one? You heard what Peter said. About him saying that, look, Mexico's going to pay for it. And then he kind of went against it, I don't know, November, December, saying, hey, you know what? Don't matter. Mexico's paying for it now through the new trade deal.
Right. I think I was saying, if you remember during the campaign, Trump often talked about the trade deficit we have with Mexico. He often cited that number of, it was around 500-something billion in the trade deficit we have with them. And in his mind, he thought he could negotiate a deal and whatever money he could offset in that deficit would go towards covering the wall, which I don't think he totally understood how trade deals work. The numbers on that, it doesn't quite work the way he thinks it does. To a degree, I can see what you're saying. If you're saying that the next trade deal is more favorable, obviously there's going to be a lesser trade deficit, and America will gain more revenue from it. So technically, if you want to make that argument, that's one thing. But my argument would be securing the border is a matter of national security. It's not a matter of vanity or political spiel or any of that. I could care less who did it. The point is we need it to secure the country. And in my opinion, that should be a part of – you could use defense spending to cover that because that's part of the defense of the nation. And so regardless of where the funding comes, we need it. It's part of national security and should get done.
Okay, fair enough. One final item that Mr. Pete from Oxnard said was he did declare during the campaign ad infinitum ad absurdum, and you know that's what the Democrats are using and a lot of other people are using. Clearly Mexico would pay for it. And Dave, you may have answered it right now, and I apologize if I'm asking you to say it again, but what is your answer to that? And I believe there is legitimacy. Trump speaks it very clear, very simply. Mexico's going to pay, and now it's incumbent on the American taxpayer. What would your answer to that be?
Was that to me or was that to Pete?
I'm sorry, Dave.
Oh, were you asking me? I didn't know if you were asking me or if you were asking
Pete. Yeah, sorry, Dave. I was asking you. Look, Pete did say that the president – yeah, he did say for 2 years Mexico's going to pay. And I know you touched on it on your prior comment, but that's what everyone is saying. Mexico is going to pay, and now it's incumbent on the American taxpayer. What would your answer to that be?
Right. I guess the way I would look at it is the same way I kind of looked at Trump during the campaign itself, which is Trump is like a drunk uncle that's like over at the house for Thanksgiving, right? You know, you have to realize, you know, he's there. He may be well-meaning in what he's doing, but half the time he doesn't know what he's talking about, right? I mean, this is a guy that during the campaign said 3 or 4 things a week that would have torpedoed anybody else's campaign. I mean, the guy was tripping off a coffee table, stepping on rakes. It was incredible. But the reason that he managed to get through was at the core of what he was saying, his appeal was this idea of, like, putting America's interests first, right? And his whole thing was if you look at all these deals we've had over the years and all these policies, both foreign and domestic, many of them have been more favorable to our allies, to other countries, and put us, the American people, to a disadvantage to whatever, you know, degree it may have been. So his whole thing was we need to try to put America's interests at the forefront, and we need to try to protect what, you know, benefits us. And that's why people gave him the benefit of the doubt, even though they realized, you know, he was kind of crazy. So when it comes to the border wall thing, we all knew we needed the border. Everyone knew Mexico wasn't going to pay for it, but the principles what mattered, which is he was looking out for America's interests, and he understood there was a problem called illegal immigration. His solution to solve it, build a wall to help secure the border. The Border Patrol agents basically came out and supported him. They gave him, you know, the vote of approval. So, you know, it is what it is.
All right, fair enough. Pete, I don't want to put you in a corner, but I don't know if you mentioned your opinion on security, national security, such as the border wall and stuff like that. Did you want to – I'm not saying answer Dave. I don't want to get into that. It's not fair. But what is your stance on, I guess, immigration?
I believe our approach to the immigration, the wall isn't the wrong approach to the immigration problem. I think people fail to realize that the number of illegal undocumented workers has hit as high as 12 million. It's about, I just Googled it, about 10.8 million. We're not talking about 100,000 people. We're not talking about 400,000 people. We're not even talking about 1 million people. We're talking about 10 to 11 million undocumented workers in the United States. When you look at that staggering number, what is it telling you? It's telling you that the American economy needs these people, whether people don't want to admit it or not. Because if they were just a handful, you could argue, well, don't really need them. But 10, 11 million people, that's a huge number. Too many businesses, and I think Dave pointed this out, there's a lot of Republican donors and a lot of rich people in general who their businesses are dependent on these undocumented workers. We're talking construction, we're talking agriculture, we're talking even small restaurant business owners. You go to small restaurants or even medium restaurants, and who are the staff who makes it possible for these restaurant owners to keep their business? You talk about the hotels, the Hilton chain, the Marriott chain, and you look at the housekeepers there. The whole American economy is dependent on these people. If you really want to stop illegal immigration, you don't need a wall. What you need is just this is the simple solution. If an American business owner is caught with an illegal worker, he is fined $10,000 for illegal worker. If you enforce that fine on American business owners, illegal immigration would stop within 6 months. The reason it continues to exist is because people don't want to admit the truth. Too many American businesses, too many rich people is dependent on these workers. And the solution, if you don't take the fining approach, the $10,000 fine per infraction, we have the internet and databases. Like, the whole world is going crazy with data. How hard would it be to create a national database that when anyone can sign on a website and verify that the person applying for that job is legal to work there? That's a very simple thing to do. It's cheaper than building a wall over thousands of miles. So I think if you really – I don't believe immigration is a problem because of the sheer numbers. And I think both Republicans and Democrats, they may use it for political things and say immigration is bad. But the reality, 11 million people, America needs them.
What about
I appreciate it. Yeah, Dave, go ahead. Did you want to ask me or did you want to ask Pete?
Yeah, I just wanted to ask Pete a question real quick.
Go ahead.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just wanted to ask you. So I hear what you're saying on that point, but my question to you is, wouldn't you want to know who it is that's coming in your country? Like, for example, would you be willing to concede the fact that there's, you know, obviously people who have a criminal background, whether it's gang activity, drug dealing, gun smuggling, that happens at the border as well?
Yeah, I'm against all that, those criminals. But, I mean, we've had illegal immigration for 30, 40 years. Whatever problems that are coming from that, you know, we've been dealing with for decades.
Right, so the wall would be sort of a way of kind of forcing everyone to, if they're going to come into the country, to go through a port of entry. And so at the minimum, you could at least know who's coming in. Because right now, anyone can come in. You have no idea who they are. They could just be, you know, a migrant worker simply looking to just work a job, or it could be someone who's involved in child sex trafficking, which is a huge issue, which a lot of Americans, for whatever reason, aren't aware of, that there's a lot of child sex trafficking going on at the border, where children from Latin America and South America are brought up and sold as sex slaves in the United States of America. People don't talk about these things. People don't talk about the number of guns that are smuggled both ways across the border, how much the drug cartels have huge operations. And my point is, the wall is a way of verifying who's coming in or out by forcing people to go into a port of entry. Without the wall, what you're basically saying is, let things stay the way they are, and let's keep with this ambiguous, you know, sort of like, oh, we don't know who's coming in, and let it be whoever it may be, and let them come in. That's what you're saying. Leave the door open, basically.
Okay.
Pete,
before you comment, hold on one moment, and I'm glad you want to comment. Gentlemen, first of all, thank you. I'm glad that you guys are exchanging. Guys, I got to tell you, we've been on air for over 10 years, and we usually are hit with hardcore right or hardcore left. Gentlemen, I got to tell you, this is damn refreshing. First of all, both of you are independent, and you're not screaming at each other, and you're not calling each other names. First of all, I thank you both for that. I thank the audience. Wow! You know, I'm thrilled, and I appreciate the exchange of ideas that we're having right now. I probably took your train of thought there, Pete from Oxnard, but why don't you go ahead and try to respond now, because, you know, Roger's got to talk, because he's got to talk. Go ahead, Pete.
I think you bring up a good point. Dave and I are independents. We have different views, but Dave is bringing up his points in a level-headed way, and I appreciate it, in an intelligent way. I think Dave's motives are good. I think he wants to secure the country. And if you securing the country is your goal, then I'm willing to consider or compromise on that. But unfortunately, I think that President Trump is using the wall to stir up racist and anti-immigrant sentiment in his base. I know he might be selling it as securing the country, and I think Dave honestly wants to do that, but I think it's a political tactic to stir up the racism in his base. Now, if you could tell me that the construction of a wall was 95% effective, I might go for it. But how do we know that building a wall is really going to be effective in stopping terrorists or bad people? It may be to some effect, but we got to remember that the 9/11 terrorists who flew their planes into the towers didn't come through the border. They came through here pretending to be students. They took classes in Arizona how to fly 747s, and people were worried, why are these Arab kids learning how to fly planes, you know? So terrorism can come in through many ways, and if we knew the wall was really going to be effective for that, I would consider it, but I just wonder how effective it's going to be.
Dave, before you answer, first of all, Pete, I do appreciate that. Dave did comment earlier, and I hope I paraphrase this correctly. He made a point that resonated with me as well. And the point was that if they're going to come across, at least they have to come across through a point of entry. And I believe there is some legitimacy to that, but at least we know who they are. And if something happens, well, we know who they are. Hopefully we can catch them. I do agree, and Dave, just give me a quick moment, with Pete here where he says these criminals came in on visas. They did come in through a port of entry, but they basically overstayed their visa and they wanted to hurt us. The several other terrorists have come from Canada, but they were caught at the border. They were, which is a good thing. I mean, security does work. I don't want to belittle both point of views. I hear what you're saying, Pete, and Dave, I appreciate what you said earlier, but if you want to go in and answer Pete now or ask him another question, by all means. And then we're going to try the 804 area code after Dave gives his comment right now.
Yes, sir. And Pete, by the way, I appreciate what you have to say, and I definitely respect your position. You know, and I feel like we both are motivated by trying to solve a problem and trying to do it in a kind of fair and just way. So what I would say as far as the wall being effective, I would point to the nation of Israel and what they had to do with their situation there. They built a wall, and their issue was having to stop terrorists from coming from Palestine. And, you know, obviously if you know the Israeli-Palestinian situation, you understand why they did that. And that helped them reduce all the terrorist attacks and people they had coming into the country drastically. I mean, there's several articles about that. And if you also look at the fact, and I talked to Roger about this earlier, that the Mexican government built the wall on their southern border as well. And Obama gave them $75 million to help them do it. And it's really been effective for them. Unfortunately, the Mexican government, for whatever reason, decided to say that illegal migrants could come up through the railway system. And as long as they stayed on the railway and went all the way to America, it was okay, which was, I thought was insane considering our government gave them the money to build the wall in the first place. But that's a separate issue. But to the point about, you know, the terrorists coming in, I would just say the drug cartels and the child sex traffickers are in a different category than terrorists. Okay, these guys have specific operations that are designed to smuggle drugs and people and guns across the border. Right? They have, I mean, we're talking about a multi-billion dollar industry. They do a whole lot of things. There's, I mean, hundreds of thousands of children, especially young girls, are snuck over the border and sold on the underground black market as sex slaves. This happened. This has been a huge problem. And to stop these people, you have to have some type of physical barrier to keep them from smuggling drugs and people across the border. You just have to. If we don't, their operations can go and continue unrestrained or unchecked. And so that's my main motivation to it. If you could suggest a different way that we can stop these cartels and these people smugglers, I'm all ears. But as far as I can tell, I don't think there's any other practical solution to stopping them.
You know, though, Dave, I appreciate how you framed your argument. And, Pete, I also appreciate how you framed your argument as well. Gentlemen, seriously, I'm thrilled that we're having a wonderful conversation. We do have we have some more callers. Stay with us, gentlemen. Hold on, please. I'm going to go to the 804 area code. You've been on hold. We went to you once before. We're going to go to you again. Remember, you're live on Let me know who you are and where you hail from. You're live on Monday Night America, 804 caller. Okay, you're just screwing with the number one button. Or maybe it was an accidental. Either way, I do apologize. Okay. Guys, wow, we've spent quite a bit of time on the wall, and I do appreciate that. I want to take a bit of a tangent that has to do with immigration, something that I've been afraid to do for a while, but since I have two independents and two smart guys, I rarely ever have this. Dave, you mentioned the guys coming in from the South, the drug lords, the ones that are bringing kids across, they're smuggling, they're doing a lot of nasty things. And I have some classmates of mine that are sheriff's deputies, police officers, federal agents. And when I talk about this, and I rarely ever do because I just don't want to engage anyone on it, they always slam me by saying, hey, those criminals, terrorists, by what they do. And one time the only response I had, gentlemen, was, yeah, our government lists them as criminals. They don't list them as terrorists, even though these are multinational, I think they call them transnational organizations. Gentlemen, I throw this out to both of you. When is the United States of America going to declare war on these transnational organizations? And Dave, since you brought it up, I want to go to you. You know that they don't call them terrorists in the same manner that we have the people from, say, Europe, the Middle East, etc. The generalization of the terrorist with the long beard and screaming for Allah, consider a terrorist. But the people from the South, our law enforcement considers terrorists, but the U.S. government doesn't. Should they? Must they? Will they? I throw that to you, Dave.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. I mean, if you know the type of things these people do, and I hesitate to call them people, because anyone that can rape and harm and maim and kill, and kill in some of the most undescribable ways. We're talking about slow torture, skinning people alive, you know, chopping people's heads off. I mean, some of these gangs actually engage in ritual cannibalism. Not all people, a lot of people don't know this, but these are some of the most vicious people you've ever seen. And I agree with you. In my opinion, they're terrorists. I mean, anyone who can have an entire, you know, I don't know what to call it, like an entire crew of underage girls. And when I say underage, I'm talking about 8 and 9 year old girls as their sex slaves. That kind of person has to be put to death. I mean, flat out. There's no sense in trying to rehabilitate someone like that. And these are the people we're talking about. And these people, for whatever reason, continue to get away with what they're doing. And the main reason actually is they buy off the Mexican government for the most part. Mexican police, the federales, all those people, they get bought out. That's why they are able to do what they're doing with the name restraint. There's unfortunately nothing America could do, because how are you going to, you know, force without basically sending troops into Mexico itself or into Central America, how else would you do it? I mean, I don't think those governments would allow that. And all we can do is just fight it on our end. And I have to admit, you know, the FBI and ICE and local police departments, they try hard, but it's an uphill battle. And I don't think it's something that's going to get solved overnight. It's going to take years. And it may never get solved, you know, ultimately. That's a sad thing. But I don't know. I really don't know what they can do.
Dave, I appreciate that. Pete from Oxnard, you know the question. My question is very simply, is the United States going to call these people terrorists and bring the force of the American government and the legal system against these people? Because I believe, guys, that if you categorize them as terrorists, the federal laws supersede the state ones. And RICO probably comes into this. And you know, RICO, if you put a stamp on an invoice when you're washing money, that one is like $10,000 and 5 years, one stamp on one letter. So that's what I'm kind of throwing out there. Pete, what is your opinion on these people that are coming in from the South? It doesn't matter how many. If one is a criminal and they're a gang member, what can we do? Do I have you here, Pete? Oh, maybe I lost you.
Oh, sorry,
Rog.
Oh, I
do apologize. Okay, yeah, there you are. Yes.
Yeah, I think if it allows us to clean up the problem, classify them as terrorists. I remember the Tom Clancy book, and I think you referred the book to me, and then we talked about the movie A Clear and Present Danger, to make that kind of statement that the drug problem presents a national security problem, and that U.S. troops are authorized to do what is necessary to suppress the drug lords. And I agree with Dave's point on sexual trafficking with children and women in general. It's a serious problem that's only started to get some national attention. We have heroin epidemics going through the small towns in New England. We got a meth epidemic that's showing up in desert towns here in California and all the United States. I think we need to take that tack. We need to classify them as terrorists, use military force if necessary. We need to really tackle these problems, because we have so many more problems coming down the road. You know, we have economic issues, you know, in our trade system. We have jobs lost through computers and automation. We got a lot of problems coming down the road. So we need to deal with the ones that are staring us right in the face. So I'm for classifying as terrorists, taking the most extreme stance for the criminals who would even make our country worse.
Wow. All right. I appreciate that, gentlemen. Hey, we've got about 12 minutes left. If you guys are still game, I've got another question I want to throw out to you guys, and it has to do with the drug problem that America has, which also has to do with some issues of immigration. This time I want to go to you first, Pete. Look, I'm 49 years old, gentlemen. I am very naive when it comes to this stuff. And I'm not asking you guys if you did drugs or not, but I didn't do drugs because I was afraid of them. I knew people in my life that were very strong, and they were destroyed by drugs, and I saw that. And I remember thinking, man, this guy was done in? No way. And being a tax preparer, I know of situations that clients lost everything because of drugs. So I saw that. I saw people back in the 80s and 90s earning $200,000, $300,000 a year, losing it all to drugs. And why? I mean, why do people do drugs? And we may not have time in 12 minutes or 10 minutes, but why is America on drugs? And maybe it's just a call for help, gentlemen. I'm asking both of you, and I'm going to go to you, Pete. I know what's going on in California, the meth issues and the heroin in Maine that you said. How do we solve this? What do we do?
That's a tough problem. And, you know, I like to watch some of those addiction shows on TLC and E&E and so forth, and I think, you know, I turned 50 this year, and for most of my life went smoothly up until 5 years ago. And if you're lucky enough to have a good life and things are going with you, great, but there's no way you can hide from what life's going to throw at you. And I think because life gets so hard, people turn to drinking, people turn to drugs to deal with those problems. I think a lot of addicts are not only dealing with the problems they have now, they're dealing with the problems that they had as kids. You know, almost all the people on those addiction shows have had serious childhood trauma done to them. So at a societal level, I think we got to show people who are having difficulty that there are other ways to deal with your problems, not just turn to drinking and drugs. It's a hard solution, but there are healthy ways. I meditate to deal with all my stresses, and that doesn't take away all the problems. But if I could give something to the world, is to teach them that if they practice something as simple as you know, breathing techniques or meditation, they can get that peace that they're looking for from in drugs and alcohol. It's going to take some work. I mean, you're going to have to practice for a while. But I don't want to take the show into this too much into this direction. But I just want to. I think life's hard, and that's what draws people to drugs and drinking. And I think there are healthy solutions if people only knew how to you know, bring that into their life. That could be a way to helping with the issue.
Fair enough. Thanks, Pete. Dave, we've got about – oh, no, we still have a little bit of time. We've got about 7 or 8 minutes.
Yeah, if I could just say quickly, like, I have a lot of family members, I know personally, and friends that got involved in drugs. And, you know, similar to yourself, Roger, I've seen them go from really, you know, being in a great situation and seeing them completely destroy their lives. And I think we should separate people who get involved in drugs into two categories. You know, you have people like what Pete talked about who fell on hard times and maybe suffered abuse or, you know, went through something that, you know, really hurt them more. And they have to turn to drugs and alcohol to try to ease the pain or make themselves feel better. And for those people, I have the utmost sympathy for. And I feel like if people, you know, to what Pete said, can maybe engage in spirituality, turn to God, get into prayer, I mean, I think they can help them a lot more than people think. I've experienced that personally. I can say that's true. But then there's another category of people. And these are people I know personally as well who got into drugs purely out of recreation. All right, these people I don't have any sympathy for. Let's be honest. You know these people growing up. They were the ones who were going crazy. No matter what everyone told them, they didn't want to hear it. They were convinced it was okay to start snorting coke, to start shooting heroin, all this stuff. For those people, hey, man, life's got consequences. You chose it. Unfortunately, that's what you have lived with. So, you know, there's two different kinds. And people got to stop victimizing some of these people too much, because what I found is a lot of addicts feel justified in what they're doing because everyone keeps treating them like a victim. And I refuse to do that, because at the end of the day, people are free moral agents who have the choice to do either right or wrong, good or evil. You should be, and if you choose to do evil, even if it destroys you, you should be accountable for that.
I hear both of you, and I appreciate it, gentlemen, and I do believe about being accountable. You know, guys, it did, and I'm sorry, I'm not trying to be a schoolboy here, but it really did. When I was in school, I saw guys drinking, and I also saw them, you know, smoking, and then this happened later, and like I said, I know a classmate that died who did, you know, drugs and alcohol. And I know other people in my life, and it's just maybe I was lucky, gentlemen, in that I stayed off of it because I was scared of it. And I have been down in the dumps, but I don't want to go back down that road. And I'm not looking for sympathy right now. I guess I just, since we're on the subject, I really wanted to hear from both of you because I appreciate your opinion, guys. I'm like, oh, come on, man, I'm going on hiatus. And I get these two smart guys on my program. Gentlemen, let me tell you, if you guys want to return and you want to talk about some stuff, I still have Mondays open, and I would still be on at 7 p.m. If you guys want to join me, go ahead and reach out through my website. Well, you can reach me through Blog Talk Radio right here, or you can reach me directly through the ndbmedia.net. You can contact me there. You want my email, gentlemen? Both of you have it. It's roger@ndbmedia.net. So if you gentlemen want to be on another Monday night, and if you have a topic that you guys want to talk about, and if you want a key conversation that we had today about anything, gentlemen, let me know. It's tough to talk for an hour alone. But if I have someone that wants to share something and wants to give their point of view, Gentlemen, I am thrilled that you guys did. I've had a hang up on people in the past because the vitriol, the hatred, it's so bad. And I appreciate both of you sharing your opinion. And I would love to have you guys back. And my commitment to be is just let me know you guys want to come on and we can do a program. I need 30-minute notice. I can set it up. All right, gentlemen. But I do want to thank you. We are almost out of time. Let me go to Dave. I want to give you about a few seconds. Is there anything else you wanted to say to the audience? And then I'm going to go over to Pete, and then I'm going to finish up the program. But you guys have my invite. Thank you. Go ahead, Dave.
Yeah, no, I just wanted to thank you for letting me be on the show. It was a pleasure to speak to yourself and to Pete. And I definitely love to – we'll be listening in the future. And yeah, that's all. You guys have a good night.
Hey, I appreciate it, man. Good night. I hope it's not too cold in Minnesota, man. Hey, Pete, last thought?
Yeah, I appreciate Dave's commentary. I'm actually thinking about, you know, the ways the wall could secure our country. So, I mean, I appreciate his points. And I thank you, Raj, for having the show. I want to share something a little funny. A friend of mine told me, you know, I'm single, 50. He was telling me, you know, Pete, I think, you know, what you need is to date a stoner chick. You know, marijuana is now legal here in California. I think they're a lot of fun. You can find them online and they're really mellow and they'll be really good for you. So if you go online, they have websites for dating stoner marijuana girls.
Like, oh, my 420, God.
420 mate, stoner date or whatever. I found it really funny this week. I'm not going to do that. But I just found it very entertaining that he thought that would be a good match for me.
That is funny, and I do appreciate that. Once again, I do want to thank Dave, and I want to thank Pete as well. Gentlemen, I'm glad I had two independents on today because usually it's one extreme or the other. Ladies and gentlemen, if you want, always, and I know you're listening, I see the numbers, and I'm thankful. But, you know, damn it, this has happened before. When I say I'm going on hiatus, everyone calls in. Come on, guys. I need you guys to do this all the time. You guys want to talk about, you know what to do. Just go over to the website, contact me here through Blog Talk Radio, or contact me at my website, ndbmedia.net. You can find me on Facebook, my public page. I'm Roger Noriega 007. Yeah, that's me. That's my public page. So you can find me. Other than that, again, gentlemen, I'm thrilled that I had both of you to share your opinions and your insight. I learned something from both of you tonight, and I want to thank you for that. In the meantime, ladies and gentlemen, this is Roger Palpatine Noriega on Monday Night America. I want to thank you, and who knows, maybe next week, if not definitely, May 6th. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you. We're out of here. Peace!